Again, come back to our original question. If the country like the U.S., which is good at producing everything, right? Then how could you use comparative advantage to convince the U.S. to trade with others, to buy stuff from other countries? Right? We can produce everything, and we buy, so we don't need to buy anything from foreign countries. You can buy from us, of course, but we don't need to buy from you.
But some products, if they were produced, they may have some other products. For example, the labor's price,
okay,
and environment problems. So,
well, that's because you don't have the absolute advantage, right? Mm-hmm. If you have the absolute advantage, then you don't have those problems.
If USA can produce everything, always have some production, they produced with more problems.
Okay.
Than other
the even better, right? So
yeah.
The product services, there are always something you are much better than others. Right? There are something you are just better than others. Right? So then you can you can focus on those things you are much better. There's actually a very you can explain this. You can explain comparative advantage with a very simple example. Right? We are all lawyers. We use the lawyer's example. Right? Assuming you are the best lawyer in Xi'an, right? You're the best lawyer, so you get paid $500 per hour. And you happen to be the best tapist in Xi'an. You tap faster than anybody else. Right? And you can, so you are as a lawyer, you need to tap things, you need to write. And so, since you are better than anybody else in doing these two things, do you still need to hire a tapist?
Yes.
Why?
If you save 1 hour to
tap, the salary per hour is just $20. Let's say,
yes,
$20. $20.
Yeah,
$20. And you focus on your legal work, you get $500,
yes.
Right? So in the end, your net profit is $480. Okay? If you focus on, if you do the two things, then you will lose a lot. Right? So this very simple example powerfully exists whether comparative advantage is good, whether countries still need to trade because you have comparative advantage, you can focus on producing those things you are much better, right? You're much more efficient than others in doing these things. So that's the economic theory, and even the philosophical foundation for free trade. The theory, that's the statement about comparative advantage. Right? Okay, does free trade have disadvantages? And for whom? For whom? For whom?
For developing countries.
Okay,
whatever.
Okay.
So if the competition is so serious that the sector cannot develop very well in the
developing countries. But can comparative advantage solve this problem, right? If that is premature and if you are not good at doing this, then forget about it. You should not even consider this industry. Why it's not safe? So if we have an ideal, if you have ideal global free trade, right, you can you focus on one or two sectors, let's say for very, very small countries in Africa, Kenya, you can focus on say agriculture or tourism, right? And then you let others to produce other stuff, and you make money from these two industries, and you buy computer, buy food from other countries. Why that is not safe? It sounds very safe to me. There's still some. What do you mean by that? I think I understand what you want to say, but not the rest of the class, because you mentioned the word potential, right? So can you elaborate on your point? So it's not that simple. Comparative advantage would teach us that if you are not good at doing something, forget about it. Right? Focus on those areas, those sectors you are good at. If it is a premature industry, that means you are not good at doing this. Forget about it. There's no such thing as premature industry. Right? If it is premature, then forget about it. Don't do it. Right? It will never. It shouldn't get mature something because it's inefficient.
If we have some problem, then I shut down my doors. I don't expose this kind of goods to you. Right.
Then, so if in ideal world, you can that it's based on the assumption that, for example, if a country's food supply depends on another country. And in the ideal world, with peace, prosperity, with goodwill, you can always buy it. But if there is a war, there is conflict, there is dispute, that country would no longer sell food to you, then you are in trouble. You're in trouble, right? This is the real world. Right? In the real world, we face those real problems. There are wars, conflicts everywhere. Right? So this is. The comparative advantage presents an ideal model, but in the real world we have a lot of real problems. Right? So that's actually part of the national security, Right? Any other disadvantages of free trade? Okay.
The worker in the steel factory will lose his job, and this man have no other skills, so he will face problem.
Why would we care about him? You're in a very inefficient industry, so that's the bad luck. That's your bad luck. And Right.
The age is older, have too old to learn new skills.
So right. So the economics or efficiency cannot address those social problems, right? We can see that if you are not good at doing this, then get rid of this industry, right? If the U.S. steel industry is no longer competitive, right, it's no longer efficient, then U.S. should get rid of the steel industry. But the question is, there are a lot of steel workers, and they have families, and they have a family to support, and they also have a life. And if you are age 45, and your company is bankrupt, then what can you do? It's too late for you to learn new skills. Right? It's too late for you to adjust. You are not college kids that you can re-educate yourself. You can no longer do it. So we have real people and real problems. Real problems, right? And those are social problems, and they could become political problems. So that's the comparative advantage theory based on efficiency really cannot solve this problem. Right? That's another disadvantage of free trade. Right? Anything else?
Right, yeah.
That very good point. That already happened in Brazil, right? In Brazil, in Myanmar, right? The Brazil exports woods to the U.S. and to many Western countries, and by destroying their own forests. Along the Amazon River, that's the lung of the earth, and Myanmar also exports a lot of woods to us, to China. Right? We buy a lot of woods from Myanmar, and of course people there have to sell their woods, have to cut off their trees in order to make a living, but the environment is destroyed. Environment is destroyed. But we do have a dilemma here. If you don't destroy your environment, then you will die immediately. For lack of food, lack of subsistence. If you do it, you will die gradually. Right? So what will you do? What will you do? What's the choice here? That's the only, especially when that's the only thing you have. So trade is not charity. If you don't sell wood to us, we don't give you money, so you can't survive. Right? You will die immediately. But if you destroy your environment by cutting off so many trees, deforestation, and then your environment will become not suitable for human habitation. Right? So that's the you have to do cost-benefits analysis here, right? And that's very much a dilemma. It can't be solved at this stage. Right? And that's the global international institutions like the World Bank have designed some mechanisms to help the local people. By providing and those powerful countries, the Western countries, and also China have also provided a lot of aid to those countries. China provides a lot of aid to African countries, also to Cambodia, to Myanmar. But the aid cannot solve the kind of the root problem there. What are the disadvantages of free trade? So what public order? Okay. 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 Why that could threaten the public order here? I understand what you mean. So free trade could pose a threat to your political system and also to your culture. There has been an Americanization of pop culture around the world, right? So the kids, they don't read Chinese stories. they read Spider-Man and the Batman, the Superman, right? And they don't read our the Confucius and the Mencius, don't read our own stories, right? So that's the Americanization of global culture. And which is good or bad, I believe it's bad, but what can you do? They don't eat our food, Yang Rou Pao Mo, they love to eat love to eat McDonald's. That's really a threat. The French is actually much more vigorous than anybody else in defending their culture. It could also pose a threat to the public morality, right? So in the name of free trade, the Playboy magazine should be freely distributed in this country, right? A lot of people want to buy, especially a lot of those boys to buy Playboy. So that's, but you couldn't do it here because the government does not allow magazines like Playboy to be sold in China. Right? That's so that free trade could pose a threat to the public morality here, right? And free trade could also pose a threat to the political system. So because many of the movies, many of the books are anti-socialism, anti-communism. Yeah, you could. So the people, a lot of international observers allege that the Soviet Union actually was destroyed by those ideas, right? By those books, by those movies, rather than by the Western powers, because the U.S. didn't send any troops to the Soviet Union, right? And there was no fight here. So that's the Soviet Union lost the war, lost in the battle of ideas. Ideas. So free trade could pose a threat to the political system, to the culture, and to your tradition. And yeah. Any other benefits? No, sorry, disadvantages. You, please. Vanish. How could that? Okay, yeah. So the balance of payment, right? Free trade could cause balance of payment problem. Could cause balance. How could that happen?
If one company focuses on just one sector and other would focus on another, that means that if there is some price discrimination between these two kinds of goods. Okay. Hmm.
But could free trade also solve this problem? If you have a balance of payment, the free trade theory actually argue that the balance can be the balance very much can be recovered through free trade again, because the market will the market will readjust itself. You study international economics. There is a theory called price equalization theory, right? So if you practice free trade between two countries, then eventually the price for the factors of production will be close to each other, move close to each other, right? So if you practice free trade, the discrimination will disappear in the long run. For example, let's say wages, right? The wages, if the wages for the workers in the U.S. Let's say the low skill labor, right, were much higher than those in Mexico, but because of the NAFTA, because of the North American Free Trade Agreement, the wages in the U.S. for low-skill workers began to go down, and the wages in Mexico began to go up, and eventually you have the same level of wages for the low-skill workers. Of the same working capacity. So that's actually an economic theory. We call it price equalization theorem.